This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Take me out to the ball game.
What are you doing?
Did you know DirecTV has the most MLB games?
So you're singing.
Yeah, they put your favorite teams front and center right when you turn it on. Buy me some cold cuts and flapjacks.
Those aren't even the words.
I'm allergic to peanuts.
Stream DirecTV, home of the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks. RSNs available with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package.
James Watson. Oh, no!
Valley Sports South, not Game 7 of the NBA Finals last night, just a Lakers loss, but lots to take away from it. Welcome to the show. It is the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart is in for Perloff, who is on vacation and a well-deserved one. And, you know, EJ, last night, listen, you don't want to draw huge conclusions from just one game against the lowly Hornets.
Sure.
But it did actually amplify some of the real challenges that are going to be at the doorstep here for the LA Lakers as they try to work Luka Doncic and LeBron James in together without Anthony Davis,
yes.
Right? And without these a major defensive presence who was a big cornerstone and part of this team and one that they're obviously going to miss. But I thought what was most surprising about last night, if you didn't see the game, the Lakers lose 100-97. And LeBron had hit like a big three,
yep.
You know, with about under a minute left to go. And they essentially had Luka inbounding the ball, get the ball to LeBron, he hits a three. So then you go down the other way, they do a quick foul on the Hornets. Yeah. LaMelo Ball hits both free throws. So now you're at a three-point deficit, and they run the same play.
Yeah.
Luka as the inbounder, LeBron James looking for the shot. LeBron has to like heave basically a 30-footer.
Yep.
Doesn't happen. But the alarming part of the whole thing and why this needs so much setup is just it's impossible for us to underscore, as we're telling you just with our voices, how uninvolved Luka was in these clutch moments last night. That's yeah. alarming.
And the other alarming part was he was extremely involved on the other end, but not in a way the Lakers want. Because what you saw was the Hornets on pretty much every possession deciding, hey, see that guy, number 77? Yeah, make sure he's guarding whoever has the ball and then attack him. And that was basically what you saw the Hornets do. And the Lakers tried everything they could to try to get him out of those matchups or try to help double team and end up putting them in bad situations. So this is why when I look at this Lakers situation and we say, all right, when we look at the future of this, is this going to be a LeBron issue? Is it going to be a Luka issue where he has to get in better shape or take more accountability on defense? To me, this is purely a Rob Pelinka, J.J. Redick issue. Because mm-hmm. you talk about these plays, you talk about the last two plays, the last 3 minutes, every single play was Luka standing on the side and LeBron yep. either going one-on-one or LeBron trying to get Rui Hachimura in some two-man game. And that was it. Luka really wasn't involved. The only way he got involved was getting an offensive rebound, which is not necessarily something he's known for. A good rebounder, but not necessarily a guy who's going to be crashing the boards Dennis Rodman.
No.
Like, so to me, it's going to be, can J.J. Redick find a way to utilize Luka Doncic in these moments and to maximize his presence while also Rob Pelinka finding a way to avoid all the issues he has defensively. And that's going to mean putting way better defenders around him, they tried to get a rim protector. The guy that was playing on the court with them, Mark Williams. He got dunked on by LeBron. I'm not sure how much help he would have been in this game. But like that is going to be the big test. I think this is in some ways out of LeBron and Luka's hands.
But here's the thing. Trade deadline's over.
I know.
Like this is, there's not, help is not on the way here. Not meaningful help. I mean, Alex Len, right? But not meaningful help. And so I think what the bigger part of this too, and it goes back to the initial Luka trade. And, you know, I didn't believe it at first, but I'm starting to believe it a little bit now that LeBron had no idea.
Yeah.
At first, I'm like, that's ridiculous.
Welcome
like,
to the club, Maggie.
Well, LeBron shadow runs the league. You know, I'm one of those people. And his agent is Anthony Davis's agent. So obviously somebody knew something at some point, and I didn't really understand how LeBron could not know. But here's where that becomes an important piece of information. Did he know or didn't he know? Because LeBron gets a lot of credit for being able to work with different types of superstars.
Yes.
Made it work with Dwayne Wade. Made it work with Kyrie Irving. Has made it work with Anthony Davis. You know, they won the bubble title. It wasn't snap your fingers, though, overnight. And these are guys that LeBron almost handpicked, wanted to play with D-Wade, went back to Cleveland because he saw Kyrie Irving was such a talent and thought, okay, this could be a sleeping giant and I can redeem myself and also play with a great player. The Anthony Davis thing was orchestrated 2 years before the guy hit free agency.
Right.
I mean, they had to move mountains to get him out of New Orleans. LeBron, if he didn't choose Luka, I don't know if he'd be like Kobe Bryant, you know, in terms of making sure a guy has to be in good shape and basically not respecting somebody who can't keep themselves in good shape.
Yeah.
But I think LeBron probably has a little bit of that. And if he didn't pick Luka, and if Luka is as out of shape, it's like basically, you know, the way the Mavericks paint it, like the guy's in a wheelchair. But if he can't put down the beer and the whatever he's eaten.
The Slovakian treats.
Yeah, I guess so.
The Slovenian treats.
Yeah, Slovenian.
Slovenian desserts. I don't know what that entails, but I'm sure they're delicious.
I don't know. I mean, it's National Muffin Day. I mean, tell somebody. Tell a friend. But I guess, like, LeBron, I think, in where I'm going with this, is I don't think LeBron's going to see these clutch moments in a way that we thought. And if he doesn't trust Luka, if Luka's hanging on to his, you know, tugging on the shorts at the end of the game and is, you know, not going to be in good shape, I think you're going to see more of what you saw last night, which is LeBron basically trying to win the game.
I'll tell you what, if he does not decide that, hey, it's time to, you know, pass the torch, so to speak, or let these final moments be about Luka, or just have him involved. Maybe it's both of them doing two-man game, not Rui Hachimura. If it is going to be the LeBron James show, this is going to be a problem.
Yep.
Because Luka Doncic is not Dwayne Wade. He is not Kyrie Irving. He's not someone who's going to move without the ball. He's not someone who's a great spot-up shooter, per se. He's a good shooter, but that's not really – he's not a guy who I'm going to stand in the corner and be Ray Allen looking for an offensive rebound.
No,
to
he's
win
a high-usage, holding-the-ball
right.
guy.
So if you're going to have Luka Doncic, who's going to be a sieve defensively, and then you're also going to have Luka Doncic on offense, and you're not going to use him, then what the hell do you have him for?
Right.
Like, LeBron James, he does play defense. He can move without the ball. He can do those other things that can – he plays winning basketball. That's the one thing you can always say about LeBron James. You can say he's this, he's that. He's always about making the winning play. In fact, he got criticized for it because some people said he should be more selfish. He shot all the time. And
that was
that's always been
his
case.
Yeah.
If he's going to be in a situation where now he decides it's time to be selfish, then this Luka Doncic thing is going to be a waste. It's going to be an absolute waste.
And that's why I thought he at least, like, co-signed off of this. But if he didn't, then, you know, is he going to be as, I don't say motivated, because I think LeBron is still motivated to try to rip off a title here at the end or whatever. But is he going to be as willing to say, all right, I'm going to step aside and I'm going to let Luka do this thing and I'm going to be more of a, I guess, role player. That sounds a little weird, but I'm going to be more of a role player and I'm going to let him carry us. But if he doesn't trust him, that's never going to work. 855-212-4227. You know, and is this trade, because this is what it all goes back to, unless some miracle happens in the NBA playoffs where we get like the best finals matchup we've ever had, this season is going to be known for the Luka trade.
Yes.
Without a doubt. And how do the Lakers navigate this and whether it works or doesn't work and all of that. Like, if LeBron and he can't figure out this end of game situation, it's not just going to look bad for the Mavs, because you're right. The Mavs made their mistake already, right? They've got to live with that. Now, if J.J. Redick and I guess Rob Pelinka, but for now, Redick for sure, and weirdly, and LeBron and Luka, if the three of them can't figure this out, it's going to look like, all right, the Mavs made a mistake, gave you a gift, Lakers, and you spoiled it.
We're going to learn real quickly, A, just what kind of lead LeBron is.
Yeah.
And B, is J.J. Redick the head coach of the Lakers, or is he LeBron's podcast buddy? Because to me, it's going to take two things for this to work. Number one, LeBron's got to go back into the Dwayne Wade bag. When LeBron got to Miami, they struggled the first month or so of the season, and they didn't know who takes the last shot, and they didn't know who should take over games down the stretch. And Dwayne Wade had to go to LeBron, say, hey, you're the best player on this team. If that means I got to take a step back for you to be the best player on this team, I will do that, because that's, at the end of the day, what's going to get us to win games. LeBron is going to have to do that with Luka Doncic. That is, it's not a if or maybe. This is what has to happen. He's a better player. LeBron James is 40 years old. He's not going to be able to just be keep carrying teams and putting them on their back. He can't do that. So he has to do that, number one. And it's also going to take the head coach. J.J. Redick's going to have to go into that building. He's got to go sit those guys down and say, hey, listen, LeBron James, you had a great career. I love doing a podcast with you. You are now second fiddle.
You're the only one who liked the podcast. The rest of us didn't love it.
Oh, man.
Manny liked it.
You are second fiddle, and you are going to be the best second option in the NBA because of all the things you can do. But it's time, in order to get the best out of Luka Doncic, it's going to be time for you to kind of seed control this team a little bit, because the future is not LeBron. The future of the Lakers is Luka Doncic, whether he wants to like it or not.
Okay, but how long is it going to take for Luka to play himself into good shape?
Well, that's the problem. And if you watched Luka Doncic last night, if you watched him in these first few games with the Lakers, I don't even know if he's 100% healthy. He looks terrible.
And like, LeBron's not 100% healthy, but he's out there doing his thing.
I mean, yeah. He had a bad foot, but he was able to dunk over a 7'1" guy who's 20 years old. I don't understand this guy. He's made out of vibranium.
Yeah.
But, like, yeah, I mean, Luka, to me, he looks awful. Like, he doesn't look...
He looks rattled still.
He looks a little rattled. He doesn't look in the greatest shape. And I don't think he looks healthy. I don't think he's not an explosive guy, but he just seems like he has no lift, no anything right now. And that's another thing, too, why I kind of watched the end of that game. In some ways, it might have been kind of a good thing that the Hornets were hunting Luka Doncic. Maybe they are working him into shape. But it's the same thing with J.J. Redick. I think with J.J., maybe they lose that game, or maybe they lose that game worse trying to get Luka Doncic to make those plays. But it's going to have to be him at some point.
Right, right.
So
Rip the Band-Aid.
Right, so they'll be hiding him and saying, well, let's wait until he gets in the right shape in order for us to then use him as an offensive help. Doesn't make sense. You got to get these reps in now, because the Lakers, you know, we kind of poo-pooed them for a lot of this season. They are right in the mix in the West. It's really OKC and everybody else. When you look at the standings, when it comes to 2-5, they're only talking about a couple's game difference. It is not a fantasy or like some kind of crazy idea to think that the Lakers can make a run when you just look at purely where the standings are. But if they don't get these reps in now and Luka can't get comfortable with what this team is going to be in the playoff run, then this is going to be a waste of season.
We're talking about last night and the fact that the Lakers lose. I mean, listen, you lose games in the NBA. It happens. Yeah. They lost to one of the worst road teams in the entire NBA in the Hornets.
One of the worst teams in the NBA, period.
Yeah, just period. Yeah. And they have been for a while. And not only that, but the end-of-game situations were pretty... Well, Luka was on a milk carton. Except for the fact that he was inbounding the ball, so he literally touched the basketball.
Right.
But beyond that, that's what we had. And it's funny you mentioned about the standings. The Lakers are fifth right now in the West. This is a much better position than they've been in in years past, where they're fighting for play-in and, you know, having to go to New Orleans and on the road. Like, this is
playing Denver in the first round every year and getting smoked. And ironically, they might play Denver again.
Yeah.
But in a different position where they're not, like, Denver's not the number one seed, you know?
Yeah, and it was sweeps.
Yeah,
like,
sweeps,
and not even
gentlemen sweeps. Yeah, it was terrible.
Not even competitive. Man, you look like you want to say something.
I mean, to me, what's jarring is Luka just kind of walking up and down the court. Not even half speed, a quarter speed. And getting on over to the wing and just crouching on over, hands on knees. It's rather alarming. I mean, in the short term, maybe Nico Harrison was right that maybe the Mavericks are in a better position short term to win a championship, because I mean, my goodness, Luka.
I mean, are we already at the Nico was right phase of this thing? Alex looks sick.
Nico Harrison said, they call me a madman.
I'm not at the Nico was right phase. And the fact that Anthony Davis is going to be out for like another, who knows,
that
month, matter. Like, Nico wasn't right. Nico wasn't right, but the Lakers might not be right either. 855-212-4227. They got to figure this out. Okay, let us know what you think. Do you have faith in the Luka-LeBron pairing? Is this going to work? And if you're not talking about, like, oh, well, maybe not this year. LeBron's 40, guys.
Right.
Like, I know he plays like he's 25, but what are we talking about? They're going to gel for 3 years?
That's
like,
kind of,
Bronny's going to be on his second contract at that point. Like, the world's going to be upside down.
Yeah, and Real Madrid.
You think it's going to be that high of a league? I was thinking.
Sorry, Olympiacos.
And go to the Greek league. I know. I do feel like with Luka, with this trade, and I said it when it happened, I don't think this was about this year.
Yeah.
I think that they
but
thought.
But for LeBron, it's about this year.
For LeBron, it's supposed to be, and I think it is. But I don't think for how the Lakers saw this, that they see this as something beyond simply getting through the end of LeBron's career and then building around Luka.
But here's
there's,
the thing,
there's a golden opportunity now, I think, though. Because I think while the Thunder look awesome, the West is a little unsettled. So
yeah.
To waste a year where you got LeBron still playing at a high level, and in theory you have a MVP candidate player, caliber player, Luka Doncic in his prime, would still feel like a waste.
The other part, too, though, is you're looking at Luka now, and yeah, maybe he's hurt, and obviously he's out of shape and all of that. But you're like, all right, well, this is the future. Well, you got to find the right pieces to put around him, which is something that Dallas was consistently tweaking and never really felt like they found the exact right combination, but good enough last year to make it to the finals and go on a great run.
You know who they need? And it's crazy for me to say this because I was basically clowning him for most of this week. Luka needs a Draymond Green. I think he needs a guy who could be in that locker room who will hold him accountable. Because a lot of the things that Nico...
Draymond from an attitude standpoint.
Yes, because a lot of things that that Manny was talking about with Luka walking up and down the court, staying on the side, that sounds very familiar to Dallas Maverick fans. Like, yeah. When he didn't have the ball or he wasn't involved, that is what he did. Complaining to refs, half-assing defense. Like, that is the Luka Doncic experience. That's who he is as a player.
Right.
And if the head coach can't do it, and I respect Jason Kidd in his ability to call guys out and stuff. He's never been afraid of that, but he couldn't get Luka to do that. I can't expect J.J. Redick to do that. And LeBron James, I think he's almost, I don't want to say he's beneath him, but in some ways, like, I don't see him getting in guys' faces. Like, that's not the way he leads, in my opinion.
No, he's more of a passive-aggressive leader.
Right, yeah,
he used to be.
Yeah, he'll go on social media.
Yeah, and say fit in or fit out.
Right, exactly.
But, or like, maybe it's like an emoji of like a, I don't know, like a milkshake.
Yeah, like,
I don't know. He would do some kind of passive-aggressive food emoji.
Yeah, a cup of milk, you know, to allude to a milk carton or something. Like, he'd do something like that.
Yeah, I don't know, something like cookies, cake. I don't know what the most passive-aggressive food emoji is. Eggplant's a totally different thing.
Yeah, eggplant.
No, not eggplant, guys.
That would be weird if LeBron just posted an eggplant.
That would not be right.
No context.
Yeah, that would lead the show. but anyway, yeah, who is that person, right? Wasn't Dirk Nowitzki.
No.
Couldn't be Dirk.
And that's the reason why I think about this, because to me, Luka Doncic reminds me so much of Dirk Nowitzki. Because Dirk was not nearly the diva, and I think he gave way more effort regularly than Luka Doncic did. But he did have issues in terms of buy-in defensively, making his presence felt on all parts of the game beyond just having the ball. And it was a major problem. I was someone who rooted for those Dallas Mavericks teams a lot during those years. And what the Dallas Mavericks did was, we got to get a bunch of tough guys and a bunch of guys in this locker room that are going to hold people accountable. So Jason Terry became one of those guys.
Yeah.
They got Deshaun Stevenson, who's a wild guy.
Jason Kidd.
They got Jason Kidd. And then you got Tyson Chandler.
Yeah.
And they put defenders around him and guys in the locker room who are going to hold everybody accountable. Those guys weren't as good as Dirk Nowitzki, but those guys were not shy to speak their mind. Sean Marion, I mean, these are guys that were
Stojakovic.
You know, Peja was a great shooter and not the defender.
Getting in people's faces, Peja. I don't know
about Peja, but no, but they got guys.
Peja calling someone out for not playing defense, I don't think is all pot kettle, and I love Peja.
But they did get guys who they were able to come in and really hold guys accountable.
Yeah.
Guys who really had no filter.
No, this Lakers team's too young. Except for LeBron, right? Like Rui Hachimura. I'm saying like young in terms of their accomplishments in this league.
Yeah.
It's not going to – Gabe Vincent went to a finals. I get it. But it's not going to be him. 855-212-4227. Okay, the Luka-LeBron pairing. Feeling good about it? Feeling bad about it? Let us know if you were watching that game last night. Not awesome. No. Okay, 855-212-4227. We still have lots of college football news to get to in terms of the future of the sport. Are they headed in a good direction or a bad direction? You guys liking some of these changes? And we'll outline all of them coming up in just a moment. All right, it is the Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart in for Perloff today. Let us know what you think about the Lakers. Welcome back, Maggie and Perloff Show. EJ Stewart in for Perloff this week. Perloff is, I don't know, I keep saying on a zip line in Costa Rica because I don't know what else you do there. Sit on the beach, tropical drinks. I don't know. Sounds lovely.
There's a bunch of grass. I think you could just sit in the grass.
Is that what you do on vacation? You sit in the grass? What are you, Aaron Rodgers?
Yeah.
Just kind of like ceremony? On Greenland? That doesn't sound peaceful to you?
Kind of. I'd rather be on a lounge chair.
I mean, so would I, but you know, some people like to hang out with grass.
It's comfortable. There's more comfortable settings, I feel like.
Yeah.
Purely grass and dirt and rocks.
Yeah. Listen, man, I just know that there's a bunch of grass in Costa Rica.
as opposed to other...
We're basically National Geographic on this show. What do you got? I got grass. So, college football. This is the time of year where all the big wigs are meeting. The latest is in New Orleans. And some of the stuff, EJ, I like what I'm hearing. You know, it's kind of like the moment anyone who has any power in college football meets, I think the initial reaction is to be like, oh, they're up to no good. They're doing something that's going to suck, that's going to change the sport, that I'm going to hate. Not all bad things are happening with these meetings. The first thing is they basically, I think, are deciding that you have to do a different seeding type of situation for next year. I think we can all agree on that. As much as we love watching Boise State and Arizona State get into the field of 12, the fact that they were the 3 seed and the 4 seed and got first-round byes, first of all, didn't help them at all. And secondly, it just seems a little crazy when you're ranked outside of the top, you know, 5 in the rankings, but then the seeding, you get all this, you know, all these benefits because you won your conference.
Exactly.
So this is not all bad. If we do the seeding as the rankings go, hopefully we get some better games. And one of the big gripes that I had, and I'll take up for our pals in Oregon, is that you were the number one overall seed. Congratulations. You get a bye, and then you get Ohio State. Ohio State should have never been seeded where they were seeded. They should have been playing a Boise, or they should have been playing in Arizona State. And then you let the chips fall where they may.
I agree with
so
that.
Not all bad things are happening. Where it gets a little bit thornier is not for 2025 necessarily, but for 2026, which is the SEC and the Big Ten really wanted to put their finger on the scales of this college football playoff and give themselves 4 automatic bids each. And I think that's where people are like, wait a minute, wait a minute. We didn't need Alabama in last year. We didn't need a 4th SEC team last year. And by the way, you already got 4 Big Ten teams in last year. And to be honest, maybe Indiana should not have been there. So I think this is where people are starting to pause, like, whoa, whoa, slow down a little bit. You know, in a time when your conference may be not as strong top to bottom, in a year where your conference may not be as, you know, top heavy, then why are we automatically giving you red carpet entry into this prestigious bracket?
Yeah, that's why, to me, I don't like the direction where this is going. I do the seating changing, that's totally fine. I think everyone, like you said, can agree with that. But to me, there's just something a little soulless about the direction of what they're doing with the college football playoff. I feel like college football, one of the biggest strengths of college football is how regional it is. Like the idea that you can take pride in whatever part of your country you're in, whether it be the Midwest, the Southeast, Southwest, the Coast. You can say, all right, we're playing our teams, and then when we get to the end of this, maybe we'll have a matchup of teams from different parts of the country seeing who's the best. When you decide that we're going to only really care about 2 brands, the Big Ten and the SEC, and now these brands have gotten so big that they really don't have an identity. What is the SEC conference? There are teams in Texas. There are teams in Florida. It's teams in the Carolinas. It's teams everywhere. You know, the Big Ten. What is the identity of the Big Ten? It's the teams from the Pac-12, formerly teams in New Jersey.
Yeah.
Like, there is no identity to this. So to me, it feels like we're going towards an NFL model. And it's not that we don't like the NFL, but I think college football fans, a lot of them like college football.
Yeah.
You know, I think about this. One of my favorite, and I know it's a wrestling thing, but I'll just do it real quickly, is a promo that Triple H did, one of the bigger wrestlers of his generation. And he did a thing where, you know what? Some people just like the WWE because it was an idea that people always are complaining about things that are happening. And I feel that way about college football. It's like some people like college football.
Right.
Like,
they didn't need all these tweets.
They like the way it is.
Yeah.
They like the conferences the way they are. They're okay with a playoff, but they don't need 700 teams in it. Like, they're okay with things being the way they are, and it feels like this knee-jerk reaction to every little thing that happens and every little opportunity also to make more money, that's where the soullessness comes from it.
Right.
And that's where, for me, it's a little unsavory. Because, again, if you're not part of the club of the Big Ten or the SEC, it feels like you don't exist.
Yeah, or you're just being set up to basically be chum for bigger conferences. Now, here's the thing, though. I think you're right about that. I think that, listen, The biggest, one of the biggest changes, I think, for college football is when they went to the four-team playoff. That's really the first time you saw people start to sit out bowl games and bowl games not matter, because all of a sudden you were playing for this bigger thing, right? Like, if you weren't just playing for the BCS, you still played in your bowl game. Like, guys who were going to the NFL, big guys who were going to the NFL, never thought of really about sitting out.
No, Peyton Manning played in bowl games.
Yeah, it's only when you put this other carrot there that all of a sudden everything else started feeling so meaningless. And I'm not saying the bowls didn't have it coming, because I think that there was a lot of corruption in some of the bowls, and I think they abused their power. But here's my thing about where the direction of college football is. Expanding to 14 or 16 teams and having more of the teams from the stronger conferences, does it not get us closer to the actual true champ?
Because, I think absolutely not.
See, I think it does. I think that for all the flaws that this, you know, expansion and the SEC and the Big Ten dominating, you know, what did the 12-team college football playoff get us this past year? And I didn't love the seeding and all of that. But you know what? Ohio State probably was the best team when all was said and done.
Did they play the best, though?
You know, listen, the loss to Michigan was alarming.
Yeah.
But they went to Oregon and beat Oregon.
Oh, they lost that game.
Oh, sorry. They lost that game, but by a point.
Yeah, it was a close game.
Lost a close game,
but
excuse me.
It was coaching errors and quarterback error that lost them the game.
Then they took care of business. The Michigan loss was, you know, unforgivable.
Right.
And then they went on a run in the playoff, and they looked awesome.
But to me, that sounds like the professional model of your regular season, you could be mid, but you can get hot in the postseason, and then you can figure it out. And I don't know, again, like, if that's I don't think of every pro season, we found the best team that played the best throughout the season. We found the team that got the hottest. We see that a lot in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, definitely.
You know, I think a great example was this year's New York Mets, a team that had a lot of talent, but did they play the best for most of the year? No, they were a disaster for most of the year.
Yeah.
But then they had a really great run down the end, towards the end. Then they got hot in the playoffs, and then they pushed and almost went to the World Series. And we see that so many times in baseball where teams can just figure it out at the end. The more teams you add, the more you're going to have that. And that's where I think, again, I go back to this regular season and it feeling like it's going to be devalued. Yes, in theory, the standings in these conferences, especially the Big Ten, the SEC, will matter. We will care about the pecking order in there. But it just feels like for Ohio State, when you talk about the two games they lost, how about some of the games they won? They played against Nebraska, the freshman quarterback, and they were fighting tooth and nail. Like, it's incredible to me to think of that the team that I watched destroy Notre Dame, sorry, Pat. They did okay at the end. But, like, destroy someone's season in college football playoff. And then the team that lost to Michigan and was struggling against Nebraska, struggling against some of those other Big Ten teams. Remember Ryan Day said he couldn't run the ball? Like, I don't think we got the team that played the best at the end for the college football champion. We got a team that got hot at the end and therefore was playing best by the end of the season.
But that was the whole thing why I felt like people weren't celebrating this Ohio State win in a way that I thought they should have. And what was proper, which is look at what they overcame. And ultimately, what is the one thing in college football that ultimately determines the champion? It's always about the talent. And I think that the losses that Ohio State had suffered in the regular season were actually not about the talent. They were about the coaching. We wanted to throw Chip Kelly into a river because of his game plan against Michigan, right? Was that really the talent that was letting them down, or was it the coaching that let them down? And so I think when the talent got a chance to shine, they showed what they could do with it. And I don't mind that. And I guess the other thing, too, is why I think this is not necessarily a bad thing is you talk about the regular season and how sacred it is for college football more than any other sport we have.
Right.
You know, I don't want teams afraid to play somebody because if they lose, it means their championship hopes are over. I don't like it when Michigan plays Little Sisters of the Poor in their non-conference.
You mean Alabama versus Austin Peay at the end of the season?
Yeah, Mercer.
Mercer was not your cup of tea.
Congrats to you, Georgia. You can beat UMass at the end of the season. And I know that some of these things are kind of tradition and they're baked in, but I don't want teams afraid that if they have three losses in the SEC or the Big Ten, that all of a sudden it means good night. You suck. Mm-hmm. You could never, because then we're never going to get fun crossover games. They're going to have absolutely no incentive to schedule anything that's even remotely tough. So I think in a weird way, it kind of saves a bit of the regular season because you'll have teams that won't be afraid to take a risk.
And that's fair. But I think when I think about, me growing up watching college football and the greatest teams I could think of, what made USC special was they didn't lose a game for 2 years. You know, what made Miami special was they didn't lose a game for 2 years. They won like 50 straight home games. Like seeing those teams that played every week in and week out at that standard of excellence and then capped it off with sometimes multiple national championships in a row, that's where we looked at it and said, this is history we're seeing.
I know, but EJ, like, we might never get stacked teams like that again, those Miami teams.
Ohio State just had how many guys that are going to the NFL? How big was their payroll? Like, I think, yes, there will be a lot more parity, but I think in terms of celebrating that level of greatness, that also included what they did during the regular season. If we're going to say a team like Ohio State, who we saw was so much more talented than most of the other teams in college football, that they could essentially underachieve for a good span of the season and still be a champion, I don't think that makes college football feel better. I don't think that that's a better direction they're going in. I think that's a worse direction because it feels like the teams with more talent have way more of a margin for error than they would have in previous years. It's not pushing them to reach that level of greatness that we associate some of these other great college football teams in the history.
855-212-4227. Do you like the direction of where college football is going? I don't mind it. I'm coming at this thing with an open mind. EJ, not a fan. Pat Boyle, listen, Pat, you've got to love this because all these changes, the biggest winner, no doubt, is Notre Dame.
Yeah.
Notre Dame, basically, just you might as well just play Bishop Sycamore.
Stop.
And you are red carpeted into this. They are ushering you in with a tuxedo.
And even then, Notre Dame almost every year for the last decade plays a top 10 toughest schedule in the country.
Listen, they've got some of their traditional rivals. So you got to play USC, and you know, I get it. But you also get to play the Service Academies and an ACC schedule.
Oh, we're both ranked this year.
Well, and then look what happened.
I mean, that was
they shouldn't have been.
Well,
because
they
destroyed them.
And they're in a conference now. It's not like Navy and Army play, you know, Bishop Sycamore and Campbell College. Like, they're playing the, and they're in the American. So they play decent schools.
Listen, I appreciate Notre Dame going on the road to play Texas A&M. They've played Ohio State in the non-conference. Like, I get, well, everything's non-conference for them. But you know what I mean? They do that, but there's no incentive for them to ever do that again.
Yeah, I mean, you're not wrong. And I just think, though, if they do have a year where they are 11-1 or 12-0, and, you know, let's say they're 11-1 and one loss, this year was Northern Illinois, but let's say they go 11-1 and one loss is to a team that's in the top 10, the highest they can get is a 5 seed. So I'm glad that, at least in this regard, now Notre Dame gets a more favorable end of the stick.
Oh, I mean, this is maybe as well just name the tournament after Notre Dame because you're going to be the only mainstay that's there.
I feel like from the beginning, they've always been winning in this. It's like, I don't know if they have a Notre Dame representative that's in these meetings every time.
But yeah, they're AD.
Every time they come up with a new formula, it seems to benefit Notre Dame. Maybe the 4-team wasn't as much, but the 12-team original that we just did this year and the new iterations, it seems to be favoring Notre Dame more and more.
Oh, definitely. So I heard this stat that if we had had like a 12-team college football playoff going back to when the 4 teams started and you had these rules of Notre Dame had to be ranked inside the top 14 and they would get an automatic qualifier, Notre Dame would have only missed the college football playoff 5 times.
In how many years?
When did it start? 2012?
12?
Yeah.
Something like that?
Well, it's like almost half.
That's not that great. They only made it 7 out of 12 times.
I don't know.
I think it's a good percentage.
I think it's pretty good.
My expectation is that they should be in it every year.
All right. Well, you're a fan.
Can I give quickly what I think should be a reform for Notre Dame if they're going to have this, I think, very cushy spot? I think that if you're going to give the Big Ten, the SEC, 4 automatic bids, suggesting that those are by far the best conferences, I feel like Notre Dame every year should have to play 1 team from each of those conferences. I think the idea—
To truly test themselves.
Right, yeah. The idea that you can skirt playing anybody from those conferences, but essentially almost have a baked-in automatic bid. It's not in the contract, but it might
be USC.
Right. Yeah, I guess USC will be the one team that they... But I almost feel like it should be something like... As schedules get made so far in advance, but I almost feel like it should be something that's like, okay, this team finished 3rd in the SEC. Every 3 years, you should have to face the 3rd-best team in the SEC from the previous year.
So
the third
it's not just USC.
So, yeah, so USC, because we've seen, like, that brand is, like, very hit or miss. Who knows how good they're going to be. That's something about that bothers me, that a team that is basically making their own rules also doesn't have to face who the literal committee or the people that are making the college football playoff thing is saying are the quote-unquote best teams.
Pat, hang out for a second, will you? Because we are running up against the break. Want to make sure we don't shortchange you on headlines. Let us know what you think about these college football playoff tweaks, though. Do you think we're heading in a good direction or are we heading in a bad direction? The Maggie and Parloff Show. Hold tight. We're right back in a minute.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Maggie and Parloff Show. EJ Stewart sitting in for Parloff this week. We're asking if you're liking the direction of college football and the fact that the playoff is expanding. The Big Ten, the SEC are getting way more power. I mean, they have all the power.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
You know, is this something that you're enjoying? Or do you feel like you don't recognize the sport that you once loved? Let's go to Dan's in Rochester. Dan, what do you think, sir?
So I think it's inevitable that it's going to keep going this direction, but we should at least make it fun. And like, the concern is like strength of schedule and like certain automatic bids. So why not fluff up the regular season, make it more important? So like, if you get the number one seed, you pick who you play, and then the number two seed would then pick who they play from the remaining teams, and so on. And that's how you fill out your bracket. I think from an idea like being like marketability, whatever, they can make a huge like coverage on it, like the draft. But I think also, too, you'll get to see what teams actually think of other teams.
Yeah. No.
Because they're going to select favorable things. And there'll be some gamesmanship.
Oh, it's all about, I mean, the bulletin board material would be off the charts. Dan, thanks for that. We've flirted with this a little bit in other sports, too. Like Major League Baseball had talked about how they wanted to do this.
Did they not do it during the COVID year? Did they not do something similar? Or am I forgetting that?
It was talked about. Right, yeah. I like it more for baseball because I think underdogs in baseball are less of underdogs. I think what we see in college football, like if you had Oregon, they're like, you know what? I want, like, you actually can't even say Boise because Boise played them really tough in the regular season. Like, I want
Arizona State. Probably.
Arizona State. I want Indiana.
Or Indiana. Or SMU.
Or SMU. I just think that you're still going to get the same blowout. I don't think the underdog has less of a prayer in college football than they would in baseball or something like that.
There's something to me, especially when we're talking about a field that is now this expansive. Like in baseball, you're talking about, what, six teams or whatever? Like, or, you know, like it's, we're talking about 12, 14, 16 teams. Something about not earning your keep in terms of where you're ranked. I don't like the idea that you could be, because you went undefeated or you went 11-1, like by all accounts, you are the sixth best team or seventh best team, but that like Ohio State could decide, no, we want to play you now. Like it, to me, it's almost like the Oregon situation, but not in reverse. It's like, to me, you should earn whatever matchup you have.
Right.
Indiana earned playing against Notre Dame. Like, they shouldn't have had to play Oregon. Like just because like Notre Dame, like, you know, Oregon would have felt that they could beat Indiana. Like, I don't think that that's fair either.
No, but Dan's got he's thinking about it from a TV executive standpoint, and that would be very fun if all of a sudden you're like, all right, Oregon, you're on the clock. Who do you want to play? It'd be something. I don't think we're going to get there right away.
Yeah.
Pat Boyle is doing headlines and updates for us on this fine Thursday. Hey, Pat.
Hey, what's up? We're sponsored by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs for protection on the road and on the water. See how much you could save at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. NBA returned last night with a makeup game, Lakers and Hornets. First game post-All-Star break for LeBron and Luka. First game between these two teams since that Mark Williams-Dalton Connect trade got rescinded. And what do you know? Lakers were 14-point favorites. Here's how it ended.
Doncic to inbound. Doncic lobs it in. LeBron James, one dribble. Deep three for the tie. It's short. Rebound Vincent. Back to LeBron. Three for the tie. No! And the Hornets grab the win in Los Angeles. Final score, 100-97.
Sam Farber, Hornets Radio Network, the call. LeBron takes the final three shots for the Lakers. He hit 1-3 to give him a chance, but then on that final possession, missed both of them. Hornets come to the crypt and deliver a wake-up call, 100-97, as you heard at the final. Lakers head coach J.J. Redick after said, I know how you like them extra sloppy.
That's just the reality of just having 6 days off as a group and trying to integrate new pieces, and that happens sometimes. I've been part of those first games after All-Star break when they're humming and things are good, and I've been part of them when they've been sloppy like they were tonight.
There you go, sloppy. Sorry, I had to shoehorn
Manny,
a Billy
Madison. You
don't
know that reference?
Can't say that I do.
What?
Wow. Obvious, yeah.
I thought maybe you were just saying that that was a bad pun.
You've never seen the movie Billy Madison?
Oh, yes, of course.
All right. Well, that's what Pat was doing.
Yeah, the lunch lady. Joe's the lunch lady. Lady, you're scaring us.
Oh, yes, of course. Yes.
Meanwhile, moving on. Here was Luka after the game. Not at 100% shape yet. Underperformed again. 14 points, 11 rebounds, 8 assists, but 5 of 18 from the field. And here's Luka on LeBron taking those final shots.
Yeah, I mean, it's both ways. You know, he had it going, so obviously we're going to go to him. You know, I think it go both ways. So one time it's going to be him, one time me. So I think it depends how the game's going.
Yeah, not so fast. It will be. And to be fair, LeBron did hit a big three the possession before.
Yeah.
So they're running. But it's just, Luka was just so not involved in the final possessions. Like, he's your best option now.
Trigger man, Luka.
And that was my problem, was it wasn't necessarily that LeBron was taking the shots or that LeBron was handling the ball. It was that Luka wasn't even involved.
Not even
like
involved.
They were running two-man game, but it was Rui Hachimura, not Luka Doncic.
Who?
I mean, come on. Like, what are we doing? Like, to me, and Rui missed some big free throws in that game. One of the reasons why they lost the game. So to me, like, that was the issue, is you got to keep Luka engaged. Because to me, that actually also hurts the defense. If you got to deal with LeBron and Luka on certain plays, that is a defensive nightmare.
Yeah, you're letting the defense off the hook
if Luka's just standing in the corner or inbound the ball, which is what he was doing for the last 3 minutes of the game.
You can go to at Maggie and Pearl on X. Will the Luka Doncic-LeBron James pairing work for the Lakers? No, leading this poll early at 57%.
Yeah, look, I know you guys said Nico was right. I mean, I feel inclined to be the Perloff here and just, instead of like debating, just say, it'll be fine. Just wait to the playoffs.
that would be very Perloff.
But like, you know,
Nico was
Luka's
wrong.
Gonna be, Luka's
Nico is still wrong.
Yes, it is the worst trade in the history of the sport, probably, from one side's perspective. Mm-hmm. And I do think once you get to the playoffs, this offense will be humming. I still think they can make the finals. Right now, in this very moment, they lose going into the break. They lose coming out of the break to the Jazz and the Hornets. Luka, kind of that stop and start. He gets traded, then he's got the break. He's not at 100%, but
I think he's still shell-shocked. He seems like he's still dazed, and he is out of shape.
Yeah. Yeah,
but
it's not
listen,
a good combination.
He's never like, he's not Mr. like cardio, I don't think, but it got him to the finals last year. So
and we, it's like
there's a proof of concept here that it works.
How quickly we forget just how ridiculous Luka was during those NBA playoffs. Like, this guy was the best player in the playoffs. And I think that if you were giving a playoffs MVP, not a finals MVP, he would have won going away. He dominated every series he played in. It was just that he played against the Celtics at the end and they just had too much. But the guy we're seeing right now who's struggling, who's still battling that calf injury, who's a little out of shape, maybe he doesn't figure it out this season, but next season, if you want to get a vote for MVP, I think I would throw my money in that direction.
Yeah, LeBron finished with 26 points, 11 rebounds, 7 dimes. You know what hurt the Lakers, too? Austin Reeves getting banged from this game, up by 8 late in the third quarter. Ejected, by the way. After arguing.
Okay.
Sorry. I forget a lot of people don't know what that slang means.
I was like, what?
Getting banged from the game, got tossed from the game. Ejected. After arguing a no call on what was obviously...
we know what it means.
Oh.
Don't know what that means?
Well, I saw EJ out of the corner of my eyes like...
I thought, did you get dunked on or something else?
No, getting banged from the game means you got ejected from the game.
Yeah. Well, I saw EJ's reaction out of the side of my eyes. So I felt like maybe...
Do you know what it means to get if you get banged from the game? Do you know what that means?
I don't think I'm going to post that one.
Listen, it's Maggie's orders. You will post it.
I really thought
my name on the Twitter feed. I'm the one who's going to take the slings and arrows.
So he argued a no call, what was obviously a foul, so that hurt them. Loaded slate of games tonight, 9 in total, including the Cavs, who are tied for the best record in the NBA at 44-10, and they reportedly are going to continue to add to their roster in an effort to dethrone the Celtics. So Pelicans and forward Javonte Green have agreed to a buyout in his contract. He is going to look to sign with the Cavs once he clears waivers. He's only been with the Pelicans since this summer, averaged just under 6 points and over 3 rebounds per game, but a really good defender, ranked second on the team in both blocks and steals. So they got DeAndre Hunter from the Hawks at the deadline. Now it looks like they'll add some depth with Javonte Green. I don't think we have time for anything else, so I think when you have me back, we'll do College Hoops, we'll do Four Nations Face-Off title game.
Look at that.
A bunch of other football stuff. Oh, the Eagles officially promoted Kevin Petullo to offensive coordinator after Kellen Moore left.
I got to give a shout-out to Andrew Kaplan, who is talented as all get-out and works behind the scenes with us here, and he posted something off of the sponsor of your headlines today, and he said, what would you rather own? Or did you do that, Minnie?
I did not do anything.
No, capped it. Would you rather have a boat, an RV, or a motorcycle?
Easy,
if you could only own one.
Yep. It's
an easy one for me, boat.
Agreed.
No, RV. Has to be RV.
Let me drive the boat.
So I was inclined to also go boat, but have you ever met someone who owns a boat? Beyond like Greg Giannotti, who's down the hall, who's like a big boat guy. People always say the best 2 days are the day you buy it and the day you sell it. Now, there's a reason why that became like a thing.
Yep.
So that's why I'm like, maybe owning a boat isn't all that awesome. It seems great.
I mean, my grandpa had a boat, and I just remember being young a couple handful of times being on the boat. Yeah,
right, but you didn't get the license
gas. I'm sure it's a lot of maintenance, but let's be honest. Like, you have to have a decent amount of money to buy a boat.
Right.
So I think if you have an amount of money to buy a boat, you have the money to upkeep and maintenance, maintain
it. Slip fees. I think RV might actually be the correct answer.
No, this guy, Pat, he gets it.
I'm a boat guy. I'm not a boat guy, but in this question, give me the boat.
If EJ
was a boat guy, do you realize how big of an upset that would be? You're not even a car guy.
You're not even a ferry guy.
No, can't even swim.
Can't even swim.
Still would get a boat.
But he's a boat guy. So much more to do, including... back to the NFL.
So I read in USA Today that the majority of people stop GLP-1 weight loss injection shots in a year. Now, what's concerning is if you get off GLP-1s, there's a real chance you can gain all the weight back. The solution? Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake. University studies show it optimizes your metabolism so you can lose weight easily, and Almacid has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's ALMASED.com.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.